The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you're having a great morning. Looking forward to this day. Fridays for me are doing the program. I get up early. I woke up this morning a little bit before 4 and doing some preparation for the program and then having a quiet time and thinking about sermon prep. I do sermon prep right after the program to get my outline ready to go for Sunday and do a lot of studying on the message that I'll be preaching. I'm going to talk about a tale of two mountains from Hebrews chapter 12 this coming Sunday. And then hopefully try and play some golf in the afternoon. And then we are excited as a family because my oldest granddaughter, Emmy, is in a play at school. She has one of the leads in the play at school, Matilda the Musical. And so we're thrilled to get to see her. Emmy is, she is Jay Budzlowski's daughter. Jay is our media director here at church. He helps me with the program every day. But Emmy is so much like Jay. She's just kind of laid back and quiet. And you got to kind of really work it to get her to talk a lot. But man, she gets on the stage and she just blossoms. She is incredible. And so we are looking forward to that tonight. And then Saturday, big Saturday in college football for me anyway, because I'm a big Texas Longhorns fan. And Texas is playing Georgia at Georgia. And that has big implications for the SEC. So, and then Sunday is a great day. We have our membership class at First Baptist Texarkana Sunday night. And that's always a special time for people who are wanting to join the church or just wanting to find out more. So lots of things going on. And I want to talk to you today about what we talk about a lot on the program, the role of government and what one side of the aisle does versus what the other side of the aisle does. To me, it's becoming increasingly more clear that you have one group that wants to make America great and one group that doesn't care about making America great. You may argue with that and say, no, the Democrats want to make America great. Well, the Democrats, they can't stand that Make America Great Again. That triggers them. If they see a hat with MAGA on it, they freak out. You've seen the videos on airplanes and things like that. They have so many people on the left have TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. It just, you mention the guy's name and it causes them to just lose their minds. But you do have, with Donald Trump, you have a guy who said, I want to make America great again, and here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to restore law and order, and I'm going to put tariffs on countries, and we're going to level the playing field for international trade, and we are going to make it easier for businesses to profit and to hire people and to set their establishments here in the United States and plant their roots here. And if they want to produce overseas, they're going to pay a premium for that because we want those jobs back in America. You know, Barack Obama was like, well, how are you going to do that? You know, back in the day, he would say, well, does Trump have a magic wand? How's he going to get companies to come back? Well, Trump knows how to get companies to come back, and he's getting them to come back. All that to say is I believe that when you look fair-mindedly, honestly, at the plan and program of those on the right versus those on the left, the conservatives versus the progressives, the capitalists versus the socialists, and the Republicans versus the Democrats, one party has a plan to move the ball down the field to make things better for America, and one party doesn't. Now, I ran across this clip from Ronald Reagan from back in the day, and he was talking about, you know, Reagan used to be a Democrat, and then he became a Republican, a governor of California, and then the president for two terms. But here is Ronald Reagan talking about what he sees and what he saw back in the day with Republicans versus Democrats. I think it's very insightful.
Notice how every time a Republican takes office, the Democrats start acting like it's the end of the world. I mean, the minute we cut taxes or trim the budget, they start screaming that the sky is falling. Now, don't get me wrong, I admire their consistency. If the stock market surges, they say it's just helping the rich. And if it crashes, they say, yep, that's what happens under Republican leadership. And don't even get me started on foreign policy. A Republican president could be shaking hands with world leaders and signing peace deals, and they'd say, it must be appeasement. But the minute there's tension overseas, they rush to the nearest camera like it's Black Friday, saying, see, we told you the world would catch fire if he was in charge. Now, I've always said, it's fine to disagree on policy. That's democracy. But if your best shot at winning is hoping the American people lose, well, maybe you're in the wrong country.
Yeah, if your best shot at winning is seeing the American people lose, maybe you're in the wrong country. I couldn't agree more with Ronald Reagan on that statement. Do we not want America to win? I still remember when Rush Limbaugh, God rest his soul, was on the air after Obama won. And he said, well, now we need to pull together because we want America to do well. We don't want Obama to fail because that hurts the people. You know, if a president is a disaster, that's going to hurt the people. And so we don't want a disastrous presidency. But at the same time, you can see if a candidate X gets elected and candidate X has said, I'm going to do these following things. Zoram Mandani is a good example. So he gets elected. Well, you know what's coming because socialism never, ever, ever works. That guy is a socialist. And as the comment was made earlier this week on the program from Lenin, I think, socialism is just another word for communism. That's the entry point for communism. And so it's one and in the same. And, you know, when a guy like that gets elected, it's time for America to wake up. He's a Muslim and he's a socialist. And as I've said, my opinion, the Muslim part of that equation, him being a follower of Islam, is much more dangerous for America than him being a socialist, although that is dangerous for America too. But I got this email from a lady that listens on the program, and I appreciate her listening. I appreciate her sharing her thoughts. But she said this, Pastor Shreve, I was in line for a radio comment the other day, but time ran out. The accommodating phone person encouraged me to email you, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. She said, I'm a Christian and voted for Trump because I subscribe to his America First, No More Wars, Better Standard of Living, Make America Healthy Again campaign mantra. I suffer disappointment. So I guess she thinks that Trump hasn't come through on those things. Well, Make America Healthy Again, everybody should be on that bandwagon. But there's lots of resistance because Big Pharma, in my opinion, doesn't want to make America healthy again. It wants to make America continue to buy more and more and more drugs. So she says she's disappointed. She's having Trump disappointment syndrome. And then she talks about Zoran Mandani's mayoral win. She said it was an outcome made possible by our human and constitutional rights, a win for the American experiment. Those who voted for him must live up to the dignity of that vote and not use and waste their voice. I pray that this will be so. Well, it's not going to be so. I can just tell you that right now. people that are voting, you're going to give me something free. Somebody else is going to pay for it. Yeah, I'm all in for that. That doesn't work. It can't work. It's not rooted in what is righteous. It is rooted in what is unrighteous. It's taking from the rich and those who produce to give to the poor and those who refuse to produce. Now, not all poor people are poor because they refuse to produce, but those who refuse to produce need to be poor. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Don't help a person who is refusing to help himself or herself. She goes on to say, voters need a quality of life beyond meager leftovers of hard work from multiple jobs, to the point that one cannot afford to buy a house, to buy a reliable car, to buy groceries, which is not in accord with our American ideals. We have to take this win with a sober, balanced, and prayerful thinking and not be distracted by slinging mud at Americans who are struggling. Prayers and God's right thinking, not our prejudices, are our superpowers. Care of life, observance of our laws, and judicial rights, which are Bible-based, should not be trampled upon by those in power. Indeed, beware, we all will lose our freedoms together. This win was a shrieking alarm bell for all of us. We must observe keenly how this win will manifest in reality. I pray that J.D. Vance will stand on his own decency and not mimic Trump's style of speaking. And she thanks me for the opportunity to share. And I appreciate that. Now, I don't share that her opinion, but I appreciate that. And I appreciate the sweet spirit in which she shared it. This is what I responded back to her. I said, listen, electing a Muslim socialist to oversee the largest city in America with a $112 billion budget would never have been envisioned by the founding fathers. His election reveals how far we have uneducated the voters. Our schools have done a terrible job in teaching American history, basic economics, government, and a biblical common sense framework of the importance of work ethic and personal responsibility. To be sure, Sharia law and socialism are not compatible with the U.S. Constitution and the American way of life. New Yorkers will face grave consequences by electing this man. His policies will impoverish New York City, not enrich it. His soft-on-crime approach will make the city more violent and much less safe. His increase in taxes will drive out businesses and job creators. His rent freezes will drive out investors. History is clear that socialism never works. It does not share the wealth. It only shares the poverty and misery. We need to be praying. And so I call that out. Why? Because I care for the people in New York. The love of God constrains us, as the scripture says. And we don't want to see people suffer. And we don't want to see, you know, this idea that, well, that's a win for the American experiment, that we voted for Mamdani. You know, we had our voice and we said we want this guy. It reminded me of Israel saying, when Pilate said, well, whom shall I release to you, this man, Barabbas, or Jesus? And they said, not this man, but Barabbas. He said, what then shall I do with Jesus? Let him be crucified. His blood be upon us and upon our children. That was their response. Well, they were free to choose that, but that was a terrible choice with unbelievable, incalculable consequences. And so we grieve over what has happened in New York, and we see what's going to come down the pike because of what Mamdani stands for. That's never going to be successful. That just won't work. You know, I've said before, and Bishop Jackson and I have had this conversation, that, you know, it has nothing to do with a person's skin color, but it has everything to do with a person's ideology and their culture. And in the hip-hop culture that is embedded in so many inner cities, that is never going to produce success in life. It's only going to produce misery. You know, wanting to live off the government, wanting to, you know, have all these women and all these children by all these different men, and just getting more and more from Social Security and things like that. It's like, that's the formula for disaster. And men that don't fulfill their roles as husbands and fathers and abandon the family, the formula for disaster. That will never work. That will never produce a healthy society. And it has nothing to do with the color of someone's skin. It just has to do with the way God set up the world. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the Epstein Files. That's in the news a lot today, the Epstein Files. And is President Trump part of that Epstein Island, the crimes that were committed there? We'll have more to say about that when we come back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 13. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and it deals with the role of government. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. We obey authority unless authority tells us to do something that would cause us to disobey God. The apostles told the Sanhedrin, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. They told him, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, sorry, Charlie, we can't abide by that. So it goes on to say, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you. This is government. It's a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That's the main thrust of government, to create law and order, and not laws that are rooted in some kind of man-made idiocy and lunacy, laws that are rooted in biblical right and wrong, laws that have a moral sense to them. You shall not commit murder. You shall not steal. Those kinds of things, Ten Commandments type things, those laws. And then the government is to enforce those because that benefits everyone. And you can't have somebody out here attacking people and just with a slap on the wrist so they can continue to do it. And that's what we have taking place in lots of our big cities today. You just have crime run amok. And Trump is trying to change that, and he's trying to instill and install law and order to our major cities. Well, so Zoran Mamdani, he gets elected as governor, and Kathy Hochul, he gets elected as mayor. Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, now she has a problem on her hands because this guy is making some outlandish statements. I'm going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he ever comes to New York City, and all these things. Well, this is what she had to say, trying to tactfully rein in this mayor-elect.
Zoran Mamdani has a lot of good ideas, But I also know that the nuts and bolts, the blocking and tackling of governing a city is very different. And that's going to be something that you will work on. And I'm having conversations now about a very seasoned team to help manage a wildly complicated city. And I know nobody likes to hear this either, but New York City is still a subdivision of the state. So
in other words, you're the boss. You're the boss.
My goal is to make whomever the mayor is wildly successful. Wildly successful, because our future hinges on the success of this region economically. So I don't want to have any policies or statements or directives that scare people out of our city. I want them to stay. I want them to prosper.
Yeah, she doesn't want to see mass exodus from New York City. Well, Mamdani doesn't really seem to care about that. His policies have basically said, hey, if you have make over $1 million a year, we're going to come and get it. And so people that have money and have means and can move somewhere else, they're going to move somewhere else. If you can move your business somewhere else, you're going to want to move your business somewhere else. You're not going to want to do business in New York City because he's going to put up all these barriers. Now, you have that on the East Coast. On the western side of the United States, you have a socialist mayor that got elected, Katie Wilson, in Seattle. And what was the first thing that she said after her election? One of the first things that she said, she called for a boycott of Starbucks. Starbucks is a Seattle-based company, and she wants people to boycott Starbucks. It just seems strange for somebody that's in charge of a city where you would want the city to flourish economically as well as, you know, in other ways. You want families to flourish and things like that, but you don't want to have a poor economy. You want to have a booming economy. And the way to have a booming economy is not to say, let's boycott Starbucks, one of our homegrown businesses. Just seems insane. Well, moving the ball down the field, that is the point of government. You know, we want to elect officials. You know, we hear all these things when they run for office. Well, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. We're going to improve the roads and we're going to, you know, all these things. Chicken in every pot, as the famous saying goes. We're going to do all these things. People listen to that. Now, I am of the opinion that Trump has done so much of what he said he was going to do. That guy works tirelessly. But Trump is not a politician. Trump is a businessman. Trump is used to getting things done. And he's a builder and a visionary. And so he sees things. Hey, we can do this and we can do that. And we can beautify this place. And we can build a hotel here and a golf course here and take a piece of property that is underdeveloped or undeveloped and turn it into something great. Well, that's making America great. As I said, well, take the again off. We all should be on the program of let's make America great. But I contend that from what I've seen, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. From what I've seen, the Democrats aren't interested in making America great again or making America great at all. They just say, well, America was never great. And they're, you know, typically the party that is burning the American flag, and we hate America and death to America, that's not coming from Republicans, that's coming from Democrats. Not coming from the right, it's coming from the left. And the fringe left has taken over in the Democrat Party. I heard J.D. Vance say that, you know, this government shutdown, 44 days of government shutdown led by Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, he said that probably sunk Chuck Schumer's political career, and everybody's turning on him now. He said the government reopened because 8 Democrats went with the Republicans to break the filibuster, and the Democrats didn't get anything in return. And so they signed the continuing resolution, and the government reopened. And Chuck Schumer, you know, he said, well, it was brutal, a brutal blow. And another prominent Democrat said it was an issue of surrender for the Democrats. Wasn't good. It wasn't a victory by any stretch of the imagination. So what do we have now from the Democrats? Well, they just pivot immediately. It's almost like they got a new email that said, this is what we're going to do now. This is our play. And everyone is jumping on the Epstein bandwagon. Trump is in the Epstein files. Release the files. If you're not releasing the files because Trump is in there and blah, blah, blah. Well, Tim Burchett said this about the Epstein files. This was from yesterday or the day before.
Hey, everybody. Tim Burchett. In Washington, D.C. today, of course, trying to open up the government, but I tried to make them release the Epstein files, and I was blocked by the Democrats. This is all gamesmanship, folks. It's not about releasing the files. If they had something on Trump, they would have released it. Biden had it for 4 years, and they hate Trump more than anything in the world. And so now they blocked it, and so they can piecemeal the truth and the half-truths, both sides, of what really went down with Epstein. And it's kind of disgusting, really. But, well, I tried. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, so it's just political gamesmanship. So Stephen A. Smith, and I'm not quite sure where Stephen A. Smith stands. I think he's probably more pro-Democrat than pro-Republican, but I would need to look into that more. But I think he seems to me to be more like a Bill Maher, kind of guy. He hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid, and he will call things out. Well, he had something to say. Now, Stephen A. Smith, if you know who Stephen A. is, he gets very animated. This is what he had to say about the Democrats and the Epstein file. And, I asked AI this this morning, has the Epstein file situation and Trump being a predator and a pedophile, is that all part of, is that the new Russia, Russia, Russia? And AI said, yes, that's their new game plan. And Russia, Russia, Russia was a big nothing burger, as it's been shown and proven. People did that maliciously and with full knowledge. They were just making this stuff up to try and get at Trump. Well, the Epstein files, that's another red herring. It's another Russia, Russia, Russia thing. And this is what Stephen Smith said about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind that the Epstein files were in existence and free to have been opened during the Biden administration. You were there for 4 years. How come you didn't open it as a Democratic Party then? What am I missing? I'm not saying I know. It's a legitimate question. Maybe I don't remember the answer. Maybe my extraordinary producers should be able to help me during the commercial break. But from my understanding, the same files that were open or being open now with the 220 pages of documents or whatever it is with various emails, that could have been done when Biden was in office. Well, why didn't you do it? If it's so important now, what were the Democrats doing at that particular moment in time? See, this is the kind of stuff that smells. Because my attitude is just deducing how much they despise Trump is if there was some real bona fide dirt on him, since you went after him with the 34 felony convictions, which essentially was deduced to him paying hush money to Stormy Daniels, a porn star, just so she wouldn't reveal their happenings with one another.
All right, and he goes on, but he's basically saying, hey, if this isn't like new information, this has been around for a long time, Biden was president, you guys could have released all this stuff, and you didn't do it, but now you want to say, oh, Trump is involved. It's even so bad that Jen Psaki, who was the former White House speaker for Biden, but now is, I think she's MSNBC or one of those news programs. She insinuated that Trump was a predator. Listen to this.
And it is outrageous that Donald Trump is hiding this, hiding the facts, that the Department of Justice is hiding the facts, and that Mike Johnson and Republicans are complicit in supporting what Donald Trump is doing.
You're talking about the other predators out there, in addition to Trump.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying he is. We don't know all the details about that. I just mean, in addition to what we've learned about Epstein and others, there's other predators out there.
There are.
Yeah, in addition to Trump, there are other predators. Wait a minute. I didn't mean that Trump is a predator. We don't know that for sure. But they're just talking about this stuff like this is a bombshell report, and why are they hiding this? And it's what Stephen A. Smith said. Well, nobody's hiding anything. You guys had all the information, and you didn't do anything with it because obviously Trump is not he's not mentioned in there as being a perpetrator. He didn't do the things that others are mentioned. He didn't go to Epstein Island as others have. And so it's just all playing games. It's political gamesmanship. It's playing games. It is not helping the American people. It is just trying to get President Trump, Russia, what was all that? Just stall so Trump can't do the things that he wants to do. And we're going to play this delay game. We're going to shut down the government. We're going to filibuster. All these things. And they're not helping people. They're hurting people. Now, if the left, the people on the left, really care about hurting children and the sexual exploitation of children, then they wouldn't have opened up the borders. Because what happened when we opened the borders? We had sex trafficking like crazy. Here's what Stephen Miller said took place under the Biden administration.
What the Biden administration did with respect to child trafficking is one of the great crimes in human history. Over 500,000 children were illegally trafficked into the country under the previous administration. When we've gone and looked for these children, Martha, the addresses that the U.S. government provided, in other words, the records that the government kept under Joe Biden, are all fake. Nobody ever checked if the addresses were real. Nobody ever checked if the sponsors were real. Nobody ever checked if they were really even relatives or parents or relations or safe. We recently recovered a young illegal alien, for example, who had been raped repeatedly by the adult male that the Biden administration handed to her. She was under constant video surveillance and was coached exactly what to say if an officer ever knocked on her door so that she would never be rescued. We have example after example. We go to homes, 13, 14, 15-year-old children who are raped on a daily basis because the Biden administration, because the Democrat Party, chose to traffic them into this country. So
yeah,
we will be unrelenting
the,
in our effort to free these
understood.
Kids.
Yeah,
so why are they not outraged about that? Why are they not making, Jen Psaki and others doing programs about that? You know, it's sickening, and you might get mad at me for saying this, but I don't think by and large the Democrats care at all about people. I think they care ultimately about power, and they'll use whatever and whomever to stay in power. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, if you disagree with me, that's fine. Give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and as is our practice on Real Truth for Today, we like to open up the phone lines in the last segment to hear from our listeners. So the number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, it can be on what we've been talking about today, or maybe it's just unrelated. Maybe you have a biblical question. That's fine. I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call. We have been talking about playing games with people's lives, political gamesmanship, as was stated by the congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee. You know, all this stuff with the Epstein, it's just political gamesmanship. And that doesn't help people. That doesn't help the American people. We didn't vote for the politicians we voted for, the representatives we voted for, to just play political games. just to run the stall offense. You know, I played basketball in high school, and we would play a team sometimes. If the team wasn't very good, they would just hold the ball. This was before the days of any kind of shot clock, and you'd just hold the ball, and it was boring to watch. It's like, well, let's compete. This is not helping anything. But if the goal is to win, to regain power, to keep your position, to keep your place, if that is the goal, well, then you do the stall, you do whatever, doesn't matter. But if your goal is to say, well, I want to do what's best for the people, well, then you do things. You don't just spin your wheels. You don't shut down the government playing political games. You want to do what's best for the people. And as Ronald Reagan said in the clip we played earlier, we can disagree on how best to do X, Y, and Z. We can disagree on policies, but we shouldn't disagree on making America great. We shouldn't disagree on making America healthy. We shouldn't disagree on we need to make America safe. For people to walk the streets and, we don't have just crime just infiltrating every sector of society. I did run across a clip about SNAP benefits. You know, this is what they found about SNAP benefits. You know, that's the food stamps. And it's just sickening the amount of graft and corruption that takes place with those programs.
What we have found is staggering. 500,000 people getting benefits two times under the same name. 5,000 dead people. 80% of the able-bodied Americans, meaning they can work. They don't have small children at home. They're not taking care of an elderly parent. They can work and they choose not to work, of course, because they're getting significant benefits from the taxpayer. So this light, Laura, that has now been shined on what is perhaps one of the most corrupt, dysfunctional programs in American history, that we are working now. Very big announcements coming next week on this. We are cracking down. We now have a plan to fix it. And we're really, really excited about doing that for the American people.
Yeah, that was Brooke Rollins. So we all should agree. Hey, it's not right. It's not fair to game the system and to get, you know, twice the benefits and all those things. That's called stealing. Stealing is wrong. If we can't agree that stealing is wrong, we have totally lost it. That's why I was saying the government needs to set up their laws for any society that are based on what God has said is morally right and morally wrong. The Ten Commandments still should govern. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have our friend Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. And I just decided I have something I see in you, balance. I didn't. When I called, I didn't even think about this, but I thought you really know how to balance things. And so, in the scripture I called goes right along with what you're saying. Proverbs 26 and verses 1 and 2. Like snow in summer and rain at harvest, honor is inappropriate for a fool. Like a flittering sparrow or a fluttering swallow, an undeserved curse goes nowhere. And that is a scripture, my friends and I pray for this president, that's, you know, no undeserved curse will go anywhere. And so that's why I wanted to share that scripture.
Yeah, that's very good, Linda. Well, I appreciate that. And Linda had shared yesterday that she and her friends pray every Wednesday for our country, for the President Trump and for his cabinet members and for the things going on in America. And I just encourage more follow in those footsteps. And as we get together, as we pray, God will answer. And revival comes when God's people begin to pray. So thank you for that, Linda. We have Mark on the line from Virginia. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff. I listen to your show almost every episode, but I just wanted to say that Rush Limbaugh, after Obama was elected, he didn't say, "I hope that Obama succeeds." What he said was, "I hope that Obama fails."
Huh. Well, I distinctly remember, Mark, not arguing with you, he might have said that later on, but I remember early on that he was, because he wanted what was best for America, and so he knew that Obama's policies would fail. And we can know that, just like Zohran Mamdani. I don't want to see New Yorkers get hurt, but I know they will, because if that guy does what he says he's going to do and what he campaigned to do, that's going to produce disaster. But I remember hearing him say, you know, we don't wish, you know, him ill in terms of his presidency. We want him to do well because we want the country to do well. I think that's one of the differences just overall with Democrats versus Republicans. Now, I think that a lot of Republicans rightly see that the Democrats love power more than anything. And if you love power, then you're going to do anything to stay in power. And that's not a good thing. You know, it's kind of like the love of money. I think that as we look at Big Pharma is, you know, started out, we could say, well, they started out with the right attitude. They wanted to help people. But then money gets in the way, and the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And so once that gets into the picture, that just poisons everything. So, but you have heard him say the opposite to what I said?
Oh, right. Well, because he said people were telling him at the time or saying about him that you should say that you hope that Obama succeeds. But he was saying that, you know, the things that Obama was wanting to do were not good for the country. And so that's why he was saying that he hopes that he fails.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right in terms of Rush Limbaugh wanted what was best for the country. And so if those things were going to hurt America, he wouldn't want that to succeed. But I think overall he had a desire to see America great and America do well and the people do well. And so that's a great point. So I appreciate that, Mark. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Walter on the line from Oklahoma. Walter, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right, thanks for taking my call. My point is, my thought is about the invasion of Israel when the atrocity happened and the ceasefire when they were attacked. It seems to me suspicious that on right after the day the colleges had the flags and the marches and the kids were saying from the river to the sea, and they didn't know what river and what sea. Yet they had these flags already ready to go on so quickly. And then you found out that that was an influence of a Muslim on campus that started gearing up. But then when the AP was there so quick on hand, taking pictures or whatever, it seemed like they would have warned them about the attack, except they were there, you know, right on Johnny on the spot. So it seems to me, and seemed like to me, it was a coordinated attack set up in the United States, and then they knew, and it takes time to get those flags and those posters, and then they were taking over the, and they were talking about down with this and down with that, and they did not even seem to have any idea what they were talking about.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Walter. You know, a lot of these protesters, I saw somebody at the No Kings protest, and they were trying to ask him questions. He goes, man, I don't know any of those things. I just was told to come here and hold up this sign. You know, I mean, they're just paid protesters, or, you know, some of them may have gotten more money than others, but they're just showing up to be involved. And they don't even know what the issues are. Yeah, from the river to the sea, they don't know what river, they don't know what sea, they don't really know what they're talking about. You know, it's Queers for Palestine, the people that held up that sign. Well, as Benjamin Netanyahu said, that's like saying chickens for KFC. You're supporting the group that wants to kill you. It doesn't make any sense at all. So I appreciate that, Walter. Okay, I was sent this just to clarify, so Sean Hannity asked Rush Limbaugh, so do you want Obama to succeed? Limbaugh said, I'm so glad you asked me this question. No, I want him to fail. But now, so that refutes what I said. But I still think in the broader sense of it, Rush wanted the country to do well, and he knew that Obama wasn't going to take the country in a good place. So I want him to fail because that policy will hurt America, because he ultimately wanted what's best for America. Now, if people don't want what Donald Trump wants to do, level the playing field internationally on international trade, I don't understand why anyone would be against that, because that helps everybody in America. America first, and let's close our borders, and let's know who's in this country. Let's get people out of here. People that are in here illegally, let's get them out of the country. Those are things that we ought to say, yes, that's right. You know, when somebody commits a terrible crime, don't just give them a $50, you know, bail and get them back on the street. Let's start to punish criminals. Let's up the ante on those people committing crimes. We should all be able to agree on that. And with the LGBTQIA plus agenda that so many people are deceived by, you're destroying people's lives, especially on this transgender stuff. You're just destroying these young kids before they get out of the starting block. That is not love. That is demonic. That is hateful. And doctors that participate in that, those people need to be called to account for that. They need to lose their license, and they need to pay a price for doing that, for mutilating children. So that is my strong opinion on that. Well, we have Jacob on the line from Texas. Jacob, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello. I wanted to ask your opinion. Why do Democrats always name like their stuff, like such as the Affordable Care Act, why do they name it the exact opposite of what it will do?
Yeah, great question, Jacob. I think everything is bait and switch with them. I think just a life hack in politics. Whatever they're saying and they're accusing the Republicans of doing is something that they themselves are doing. So threat to democracy, threat to democracy, threat to democracy. Well, they're the threat to democracy. And dumping Joe Biden and just installing Kamala Harris as your candidate without any kind of vote, well, that goes against democracy. And then what do they parrot? Well, Trump's a threat to democracy, threat to democracy. They're Nazis, they're fascists, all those things. Well, they're exhibiting those tendencies. So every slur that they state against the other side is what they themselves are doing. And every positive thing that they say about themselves is the opposite. Affordable Care Act, it's not affordable. The COVID vaccine, now that goes on both sides. COVID vaccine, it's safe and effective, they said. Well, it's neither safe nor effective. It was terrible. And we're still seeing, Debbie, my wife, told me about a report she read today about all these different diseases that they're having and accelerated dementia coming from as a result of the COVID shot, and the turbo cancers and the blood clots and the myocarditis and all the terrible things that the COVID vaccine brought. And what did we hear from Big Pharma? What did we hear from big government, especially under Biden? Oh, it's safe, it's effective. You need to do this, and you need to get another one and another one and another one. It's just sickening. But great question, Jacob. I think that, as Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance sake, but judge with righteous judgment. And what you see and what you hear, you got to do your homework on, because it's not what you get. That's one of the reasons I like Donald Trump. Don't worship the guy. He's got tons of flaws, but I like the fact that what he says, then he follows through to do what he says. And he's not a politician. He doesn't speak out of both sides of his mouth. And he tells you what he's gonna do, and then he goes about and does it. So I appreciate the call. Bob, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling in. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. That's Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Hey, go out today and this weekend, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.